On Midwest Week, what happened when a child took a gun to school, pointed it at a teacher, and pulled the trigger? I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Tara Becker-Gray, reporter for the Quad City Times. So, Tara, remind us what happened nearly a year ago at North Scott Junior High School.
Well, prosecutors at trial argued that Luke Andrews, who was then 12 years old, brought a loaded Smith & Wesson 22 caliber gun into the classroom of North Scott Junior High School 7th grade social teacher Dawn Spring. According to trial testimony, he pointed the gun at a student teacher, told everyone to get down to the ground, and then he pointed the gun at Spring and he pulled the trigger. Fortunately, the gun didn't go off, and the teacher was able to calmly get him out of the classroom and down to the office of the school guidance counselor. Outside that office, the two women wrestled to get the gun away and successfully did so. Spring then took that gun and she secured it in the freezer of a refrigerator in the staff room.
Okay. So what happened then? Were they just call the police and everybody sat around calmly waiting, or did anything else happen?
Well, as police were responding to the scene, the boy did stay in the office with the school counselor, who was talking to him calmly, you know, asking him, you know, what your intention was. And the school counselor had testified at trial that, you know, he made a very chilling statement and that as something to the effect of, well, there were only 12 bullets.
Mm-hmm. And then wasn't there also talk about having a bad day at home or something like that?
Yes, he had mentioned that he had had he was upset because he had to do some chores at home, and he had also made a statement that again, when the counselor asked him what his intention was, you know, he wanted to end it all and anybody that got in his way.
Okay. Now, at his age 12, Tara, wouldn't this case have been handled completely in juvenile court, and yet it wasn't?
It wasn't, and because of his age, obviously the case started out in juvenile court. In the state of Iowa, though, prosecutors have the option of seeking to try a juvenile as a youthful offender in adult court. And essentially what that means is if a child who is 15 or younger, if they're deemed a youthful offender, then the criminal case would actually be tried in adult court. And if there's a conviction, then that case would go back down to juvenile court, you know, where the child could be, you know, placed on home monitoring. They could be sent to the state training school up in Eldora. And then that child would remain under the supervision of the juvenile court until just before they turn 18. And then at that point, the case would go back to adult court where an adult court judge could, you know, sentence the child to adult prison, or they could dismiss the case, among other sentencing options.
So what's the idea of trying him in adult court as a youthful offender? Does that mean that even though he is really young, the charges were so serious that thought that adult court would be the best place, or what?
Basically, it also gives prosecutors an option. You know, obviously, if a case stays in juvenile court, the court only has jurisdiction over that child until the age of 18. This way, and especially in cases with very serious charges and accusations such as this, it gives more options for rehabilitation and, you know, if, like I said before, you know, the possibility of imposing a sentence to adult prison if that's what's deemed necessary.
Okay, so in adult court, but as a youthful offender, what exactly were the charges against him?
Andrews was facing the most serious charge was attempted murder, and he was also facing assault while using or displaying a dangerous weapon and carrying weapons on school grounds.
Mm-hmm. And as I remember from listening and reading your stories, of course, also that the defense pretty much admitted a couple of the charges and sort of focused on the attempted murder one?
Yes. You know, their argument was, you know, obviously he made a really poor choice that day when he brought a gun to school. But they argued that he never intended to hurt anybody. You know, they argued that, you know, this was a kid who was, you know, he was looking for attention. And that's what he intended to do that day.
So in other words, a key part of the trial then was intent, just whether he meant to do anything more than just get attention.
Right.
Okay. So what did the jury end up doing? Their verdict or verdicts?
Well, the jury did convict him on the assault and the carrying weapons on school grounds charges, but they didn't convict him on the attempted murder charge. Instead, they convicted him on the lesser charge of assault with intent to commit serious injury, which was an option for them when they were considering a verdict.
Okay, so the jury can say, we don't think it's attempted murder, but we think it's something that's sort of a step or two below or before attempted murder? Okay. And so what does that mean as far as what happens to him next, those convictions?
Well, the attempted murder charge he initially faced was a forcible felony. So now that he's not been convicted of that, one of those charges is a Class D felony, while the other two charges are misdemeanors. So basically, the case then was remanded back to juvenile court because none of those charges that he now has been convicted of are forcible felonies. The court proceedings have been closed to the public, and the court file is confidential. In the state of Iowa, juvenile court records are confidential, and those proceedings are closed, except in cases involving a forcible felony. And a forcible felony is a charge such as murder or sexual abuse or, you know, first-degree burglary.
Okay, but is it still what you talked about before, that he'll be in state custody until the age of 18 and then will be considered an adult court?
Yes, it's my understanding that the youthful offender status still applies to him, so he would stay under the supervision of the juvenile court.
Okay, but we won't know anything more about him until he turns 18 then?
That's my understanding because the record is now confidential because it's back in juvenile court.
Okay. Were you able to talk to any members of the jury, Tara, and find out anything about what they were thinking?
I did not.
Okay. Now you live streamed from the courtroom during the trial, that you've done some other trials. What did you get the idea that a lot of people were following you, what you were writing?
I did. I gained quite a few followers. Some people would, you know, ask questions here and there, you know, ask for a clarification or, you know, ask, as an example, you know, well, what did the defense say about this? So I think that it was really well viewed.
Mm-hmm. And is it hard to cover a trial when you're also sort of frantically typing the whole time? I mean, doesn't that make it hard to really sort of figure out what happened when you're just saying, okay, the defense lawyer said this or the witness said that?
It can be, but that's why I rely on my recorder quite a bit.
Okay. So you're spending hours afterwards listening to your recorder.
Yeah.
Now, one thing that I thought was missing from the trial, Tara, was any sort of psychological tests, evaluations and stuff. Or is that the sort of thing that would be confidential, and so that's why we never really heard about them?
Well, I do believe in this case when they were determining whether he would be tried as a youthful offender, I believe he was evaluated by two psychologists. Obviously, those reports would be filed under seal. But it's my understanding in this case that the defense opted not to make that a defense, you know, anything about his psychological history or background or anything like that. They decided not to introduce that evidence at trial.